I said the Lord is good. Can you just rise to your feet for a moment? Let's get rid of the distractions, and at that same time, let's declare the word of God with which we activate the grace apparatus for perception. We usually do that when we stand, and I found out from experience that if you're sharing the word with somebody, it's usually more powerful. So can you just turn to somebody beside you and address the person and declare this word to that individual? Say, now I declare. Start it. But the Lord is giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, I declare that healing has come to every part of you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the other day I went to preach somewhere, and I finished preaching. At the end of the day, a woman came to give me a testimony. I was just saying something about the working of the word of God. She said she had this pain in her leg, on her foot. Quite painful. She couldn't wear her shoes or walk after a while. So she felt that, of course, she had access to good doctors, and they actually prescribed something for her. And she said that, if I start taking this medicine, I don't know when I'm going to stop. So she said, let me take the word of God. Are you getting my point? So she took a retreat to go and meditate on the word of God. Let me make a long story short. She said she did not even know when the pain disappeared. One day she just looked and said, oh, this pain has gone. She kept on feeding on God's word. Derek Prince said that was how he cleared a skin disease that doctors had given up on him. It took a number of months, and that's what I keep on telling to people. If doctors say, take this medicine for a year and come back after 1 year, we dutifully come back. But when it's God, he says, today, ozubozubo, right now, God must do it now. My God is a God of now. If he doesn't do it now, you can't put God in a box. Many things, they are a process. Jesus said, as he went, concerning one of the people he spoke to, as they went, they were healed. There was one, he said, go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash. It took a while to get to that pool. There was a process. Many times, what God is doing in our lives, they come in a process. I hope you're getting my point here. And what I'm saying again to you today, that process is working in your life.
Amen.
Say amen if you believe it now.
Amen.
Declare it after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In me.
In me.
Life is working.
Life.
Say it again.
In me,
life is walking.
In my head,
in my neck,
in
my chest,
in my stomach,
down to my feet,
every part of me,
life is walking. Say,
life is walking.
In my heart,
life is walking.
In my lungs,
life is walking.
In my kidneys,
life is walking.
Let me say something to you. There are diseases that you will have had in 5 years' time, they are being cured today.
Amen.
That's the way it works. There are things that will have afflicted you maybe in the next 5 years. There's something that we learned in pathology. They say if you find a cancer in somebody, it's been growing for the last 10 years. But the person said, when did you first feel the lump? Just about 1 month ago. Just one lump. And then it has doubled in size since that time. Those early days when we began to study, there are a few variations these days. They said that thing has already grown for 3/4 of its lifespan. That is the amount of years it has left to kill somebody. It's less than the amount of years that's spent growing. So if the person dies by the next 5 years, they say, look, you didn't catch it on time. It's been there for the previous 15 years. That's what the Bible means when they say death is walking. Are you getting my point? It's a process. Death is walking. He said, the day you eat of it, that day you shall surely die. All right, what does that mean? In dying, literal Hebrew says, in dying you shall die. That's the literal Hebrew. The day you eat of it, that day you will surely die. He said, in dying you shall die. There's a process of dying. Things begin to shut down systematically. But when Jesus came, the power of resurrection is that he turned things around and life began to work. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, life is working in you.
Amen.
As the word is coming to you, life is working. I want you to declare it again. Say, in me,
in me,
life is walking. Say,
life is walking.
Now, there's one thing you should bear in mind. It came to Jesus. There are many things Jesus did instantaneously. But you can be sure of one thing. Most of those ones you find, they actually began to walk in the life of John the Baptist. when they went for baptism, he had kindled something in them. And Jesus now came as a third day, all right? I don't want to talk about that now again. Jesus came as a manifestation of the third day of God in their lives. Now, I want to bring out something here. But there's something else that was now said. Said the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And I said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. When that one struck me many years ago, I realized that somebody told me that, look, today you will give one offering and your life will never be the same again. Listen to me. 99 times out of 100, for an average Christian, that statement will not be true. Not because the preacher is lying per se, but because it doesn't work like that for most people. Finances is a process. That's why Jesus, the poor, he preached the gospel to them. It did not make them rich instantaneously. Finances is one major part of life that's a process. If somebody says he'll give you a financial miracle overnight, today you are poor, tomorrow will be a multimillionaire. Listen to me. The glory of being having too much money will destroy you. And God doesn't even play those jokes. All right? But from a point in time, he sets you on the path of progress. Are you getting my point? That your life actually works in your finances. You don't have a job now does not mean life is not working. That's a matter of fact. Every day, he's converting you into something you were not before. I found out that, you know, simple bookkeeping, most people don't even know it. Christians, they don't know how to do proper bookkeeping. If God wants to make you rich, he will teach you that one first. You're looking for a job, let me tell you something. Rather than being idle, take any job. What did I say?
Take any job.
Let me say it again. Rather than being idle, take any job. You know why? A job is an opportunity to prove faithful. It's not a pathway to progress and prosperity. I don't know whether I get my point. It is not as if that's this job, they are not high paying. The job that is not paying high usually pays a lot of patience. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it teaches you more patience than anybody else can teach you. It teaches you a lot of discipline. It teaches how to withstand pressure. God doesn't just rain money from heaven. One of the things he teaches his people how to manage. That's one thing preachers don't preach a lot these days. Yes, we need a lot of people preaching that thing. A lot of Christians don't know how to manage. So there's a way to abound, there's a way to abase. And many times what God wants to teach many Christians is how to manage. He said, God, I believe you for a job where they will pay me 1.5 million a month. God said, listen, I'm not going to start your life like that. If I start it like that, that's where it will end. Because you will not know how to make things grow. So it brings you down low. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, no matter where you are today, that's actually my emphasis. Life is working. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Let me say it again. Concerning your finances, life is working.
Amen.
All right. According to your amen, shall be the magnitude of the work.
Amen.
You see, Christians like threats. Why do you like threats like this? Now, let's say straight. In your finances, life is working.
Amen.
There's a process that is working in your life.
Amen.
Even though today you are small, tomorrow you shall be great.
Amen.
I said, tomorrow you shall be great.
Amen.
Now, because greatness is already determined. What just happened is that life is what? Working it out. Turn to your neighbor, say, in my life. Turn some to somebody, say, in my life.
Life is working it out.
Say, so
the life of God
is working in me
and
is bringing out something great. Because greatness has been determined for me. Say,
in Christ Jesus,
poverty has been broken.
Permanently.
Totally.
Finishly.
I invent my English once in a while. I told you, I have to invent. You know, some of the revelations you have, there's no English word to carry it. So you invent your own. At least you don't mean it of finishly now. There's finally, totally, and finishly. Listen, you are not prospering because you are a giver. That's not why. You are prospering because Jesus died and is making intercession. So what about my giving? My giving is a sign that I understand that money is nothing. I don't hold on to it. If you hold on to it, you have taken your eyes away from God and you have focused on the material thing. By doing that, the Bible says you will limit the Holy One of Israel. But remember, every day, focus on what Christ has done for you. It is in Him that you prosper. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because some people need two more years to give so that they can prosper some more. No, it's not like that. You've prospered already. God is just working out his process. As part of that working out, he has to teach you how to give. Because the reason why he's giving you finances is not so that you'll be able to eat better. No. It is so that you can do what? His work. You know, Derek Prince described prosperity as having enough you need in life to do everything that God wants you to do. and I added my own, and to be able to help somebody else do his own too. Are you getting my point here? All right, they overlap, all right? We spend a lot of money, all right? Millions and millions of naira over the year, that every year in Kingdom World Ministries. Some people give the money. That is, God has blessed them. The out of what God has given them, they help us preach the gospel. That's part of prosperity. So God teaches us all of those things. But the real reason we prosper is because Jesus said, I have broken away poverty out of your life. Christians must realize that. Jacob said, Isaac said concerning Jacob, he said, I've sustained him with grain and with new wine. He prophesied the word of God to him. Listen to me. Jesus has sustained you with grain and with new wine.
Amen.
Say amen like you like it like that.
Amen.
You are sustained in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the midst of adversity, you are sustained.
Amen.
You know what? That thing is manifesting as the word is entering into your life. Let's declare it again. Now I declare. Say it.
Now I declare.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work and I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where I wanted to get to. I just wanted to repeat that one again, that now the word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. Let me say it again. Healing in every area has come to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say one more time. Healing in every area. Every area means spiritually. In your soul, in your body, in your economy, every area, in your marriage, in your relationship, it is healing. Look, if you're a married man, married woman here, say amen.
Amen.
Now, plenty of you. Where are the single people? There is no trick for having a successful marriage. All those books of five keys, you know, to make your husband happy. I don't know, maybe my own experience is different. Chooks, how's your own been? How many years you don't do now? Seven. Well, you don't try. I see senior you by 11 good years. I'm heading to 18. How far left? The Lord is good. But you know you have seen all this. There's no trick to these things. There are times you do everything right. Your wife just wakes up and she's unhappy. And you say, why are you unhappy? She says, it's not you. Say, what did I do? Even she does not know. But she knows you are the one. Why? Because you are the one that slept beside her on the bed. So it must be you. You are the evil spirit that is pursuing her. Holy Ghost fire against you. You get my point? There is no trick. There is no trick. So I have learned to pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you want to be to happily marry, you learn to pray. You pray for yourself. You pray for your wife or if your husband. I still remember one day I prayed a prayer. God is still answering it till today. I know where I was that day. I was driving somewhere on that M&A road. I was coming back this way. And I remember the scripture. He said, be exhilarated with her love at all times. You know, the word of God is not counsel. It's not advice like, Pastor Banky, see, it's good though. If you just are exhilarated with the love of your wife, it will be good for your ministry. It's not like that. When he utters that word, he gives you what? Ability. That day I said, Lord, according to what you have said, I am exhilarated with her love at all times. Since that day, hallelujah. If I want to chase woman, I know where to go. If I'm in the mood for chasing woman today, I just go home. There's a woman to chase there 24/7. The Lord is good. There's no trick for this thing, no. It's the word of God that is working. I'm telling you, this man is smiling at me. I'm going to use it today. The Lord is good. One day, one woman heard me preach on radio, on TV. I got to work next day. She had never heard anything like that before. What did I say? I said at that time I've been married for about 10 years or so. And I said that I love my wife more now than I did at the beginning. She was watching our TV at home. Then we used to be on NTA. So the next 2 days she now saw me at work. Say, That thing you said, I haven't heard it before, ever. And I was like, what is strange in it? Is love not supposed to get stronger with time? Most people, the first 1 year is the hottest. After that time, they're just co-tenants. Co-tenants, the same home. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Even if you are not married and you are here, say amen to that prayer.
Amen.
It will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I can hear Dechuku's amen loud from the back. For his sake, let me say it again. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will be happy and you'll be getting happier. Many people here will be married for up to 60, 70 years.
Amen.
They are not a big deal. The other day I was watching George Bush on TV. He said he was ill. He has been married for 72 years. What's the big deal? 72 years. And let me tell you, with every passing year, your love will be sweeter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will be an example for your children to follow.
Amen.
You will be an example for other people around to follow.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Please take your seats as we get ready to hear the word of God today. I was just in a praying mood. It's good, amen?
Yes.
And any man in the house waiting to be rich before he gets a wife, let me tell you, you are planning to wait too late. All the good girls will finish. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes. All the people are saying amen. They are on my side. They are not on your side. But they are on the side of truth, amen? Yes. And any girl waiting says, you have to be rich before I marry you. Sit down there. All the good men, they will have finished. One day, I saw a joke one day. I don't know how many of you saw it. He said, if you see a man, I'm going to give you the joke first, then I'll now give you my own interpretation of it. Let me see whether I can find it. I'll take this on single women. No. Now you are the priest too. I found it. Say, ladies, if you come across a man who is smart, hot, humble, educated, financially secure, passionate, and patient, great at fixing things around the house, and he's not materialistic, he loves you like you are the only girl in the world, and watches you whilst you are applying your makeup, and listen to every word you say, so then be assured that the weed you smoke is good quality. Yeah, deceive yourself. Where did you find that girl? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What I saw before I got to that portion, where I was going, okay, this is my own interpretation of it. Okay, I'll tell you my own side. All right? You can find, my wife has found a man like that, amen? All right? And she's not on weed. And she's not on weed. The only thing I want to say is that I wasn't like that when she found me. That's where I was going. If you find a man like that, most likely he's been married for the last 10 years. To you, if you are the woman that's seen that, all right, he's been married for the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. If you find a single man like that, you're on drugs. You smoke something, your eye never clear. Are you getting my point? If you are a single lady and you find a single man like this, never been married before, just wake up. Just wake up. Pinch yourself. Say, this is a dream. Keep on pinching yourself. If you don't wake up, come and meet me. I'll wake you up. The truth is that men like that are made over time. Usually by that woman. I mean, who was born patient? Many times you learn patience from the things you suffer. Some of them you suffer from your wife. Then you now learn patience. So if you are looking for a man that's very patient, you are not likely to find him. No, not likely. Not likely. You have to, we learn patience. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I mean, if a man has been fully patient, fully everything before you came, what does he need you for? People think that everything God made was perfect. It's not true. It's not the word of God. How do I know? It's in the Bible. God looked at Adam and said, it is not good. So what did he say? I will improve him. How do I improve him? I will find the help that is fitting for him. If Adam was 100% perfect, why would we say he's not good? He said, but everything at the beginning said was very good. I didn't say it was not so. But I said, perfect. When God first made Adam, he was good. Then after a while, the Lord observed him and said, for the next phase of your life, you are not good. That's the point I'm making. God gives room for everything. Even the earth he made was not full, was not perfect. What I mean by perfect is that the picture he had in his mind had not been accomplished. That's why he said to them, be fruitful and do what? I didn't hear you well.
Multiply.
He said, be fruitful and multiply. It shows you, therefore, that point they were in at that time was not where he wanted them to be. So he said, we have to go forward. You will be fruitful and you will what? Multiply. You will fill the earth. You will have dominion. Now, those things were going to come out in the process of time. I hope you're getting my point. So if you have a set of pictures, ideals you have written down, pasted on your wall that a man must fulfill before you marry, it's not bad to have the set of ideas, but you will marry before you see it. Yes, that's what I'm saying. You will marry before you see it. Then you will now create it over the next 10 years, 15 years. My wife is still working hard, and 17 years has passed, and she's not closed yet. So if she can endure for 17 years, you should have managed. Better start on time so that your 17 years can start counting. She's married to me over 17 years. And as of today, I don't know when she's angry with me or with somebody else. This afternoon she came. Okay, I'm going. I said bye-bye. She says she's going for evangelism with Pastor Murphy. I said, okay, bye-bye. Then 10 seconds later, she came back. She said, did you see I was sad just now? I said, you were sad? You know the truth? I saw it small. So I thought she was angry at me. I said, what have I done again? You know that kind of thing? Even you're laughing. You've been going through these things. Right? I'm like, in my mind, she now said, I need somebody to just cool me. And I said, okay, sit down here. Just cool down. Cool down. So what happened really? It's my driver. Look at what he did just now. And I felt like saying that, why did you come in looking like you're angry with me? You should have just said, my husband, I'm angry with my driver. And then instantly, I'll be clear. For 17 years later, I'm not yet able to decipher whether the anger is towards me. So better start on time. That's what I'm telling you. You have 17 years to learn all these things. So I just said, okay, but let's sit down. Don't worry. When this man comes today, I'm giving him a query. In fact, I'm sacking him. I didn't say that actually, but are you getting my point? But I didn't even know I was not the cause of the problem. The Lord is good. He said, look at it, now I'm not happy and I'm going to preach. He said, don't worry, repeat 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said, just say that I'm an able minister of the new covenant. I'm an able minister of the new covenant. He said, okay, thank you. I said, they go, ha. Now, wow. Meanwhile, just now, I thought I was the one that sinned. The Lord is good. Why am I preaching like this? All those of you that, okay, somebody has been chasing you, say, I need my answer this coming week. He's a good man. What did I say?
He's a good man.
He's a good man. Marry him like that. His car spoiled, all right? And he has not been able to repair it. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. Just joyfully take keke. Two of you sit at the back of keke and ride it around town. Amen?
Amen.
If I want to show your friends, toy, use the keke as your bridal. What is that one that carries the bride? What do they call that thing? Is it bridal car? Yes. Then you can test it later. When you are now dining with Dangote. He said, Alajaliko, there was a time I was wedding. My bridal car was a keke. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elijah, I know what God is doing. Better give your life to Christ. Are you getting my point? You have reached a particular level that time. You now can tell sweet stories. A good car can break down. Hey, what am I preaching? Oh, yeah. You know this story I've told a number of times. John Johnson's founder of Ebony. You know Ebony? Ebony magazine? Yes. Multi-millionaire, worth about almost $1 billion before he died. He had only one daughter. So you can imagine, only child, about to wed, a multi-millionaire will spend money on the girl, right? So he did. He ordered a brand new Rolls Royce to carry the girl on the wedding day. They drove the car to church. They finished wedding. Let them enter the car and go to reception. The car did not start. Did you hear what I said? No, did you hear me well? Brand new what? Rolls Royce. I did not say he bought a Kia Optima. I didn't say it was a Hyundai, what they call Santa Fe. I didn't say it was a Honda Accord. Not a Lexus. Not BMW. A brand new Rolls Royce. They parked it outside. They went to the church, came out, turned the key. The car didn't answer them. You know what the car was saying? All flesh is grass. So you know what the girl did? She walked. Good enough, reception was not far. So they walked from church to reception. And they felt comfortable walking. You know why? They did not have a poverty mentality. If it was a poor person that was walking, I'd say, I'm tracking today. God will still see. In Jesus' name, we are going far. But I told you, you're already rich. Did you get my point? No, the girl walked. Literally, the reception was not far. So they decided to walk. So they walked from church to reception. A multi-millionaire could buy a brand new Rolls Royce. I hope you're getting my point. Please, if a responsible man wants to marry you, go and marry him. But don't marry an irresponsible man. No. I dislike irresponsible people. There's a difference between irresponsible and I'm being rich or not being rich. being responsible is something you can easily detect. If everything you are discussing with him, he said, let me go and talk to my father. Just leave him. You hear what I say? Say, we need to do this. They say, I don't have money. Let me go and talk to my father. Use style. Say, Holy Spirit woke me up this morning. Say, I should pray. So when you are talking to him, say, this morning when I woke up at home, Holy Spirit said, I should pray. I prayed. And after I finished praying, Holy Spirit said, I should pray some more. So I'm going on a 3 days fasting and praying. So don't call me. My phone will be off. At the end of 3 days fasting and praying, Holy Spirit said, I should think about this relationship for 6 months. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's how Christians deceive people. Everything, you blame it on who? I didn't even come to propose marriage. It is Holy Spirit that said I should come. Holy Spirit now said I should go and pray. I'm not saying you should do like that, but do something similar. That's what you don't need. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you need a man who is responsible. I'm not saying he's a bad person, just that he needs to get to the point. He said, for this cause shall a boy leave his father. Is that what he said? Shall a what? A man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. That's the only thing you need. Anytime he opens his mouth, you can feel it. This is the spirit of the man coming out of his mouth. Marry that guy. No matter how poor he looks right now, just marry him. Two of you go somewhere great. Are you getting my point? It's very, very important what I'm telling you. If you are looking for the man that will be very rich first, you are missing one opportunity. That's what the Bible calls the wife of thy youth. Go and read my book. Should I say yes? Everything is well outlined in there. Please, I hope you get my point this morning, this afternoon. All right? It's so crucial we understand this. And you men too. One way to one day, my friend, Pastor Courage, you help somebody organize a wedding for 2,000 naira of those days. Now, it's like today now, like 25,000 of today. So don't think it's heavy. A complete wedding. Complete wedding. Imagine today now, they said 25,000 naira. The guy said that's all the money he has, and he wants to prove to money that he will do this wedding. That he's not looking for more money. That the reason why he has been keeping this girl waiting all these years is that he's looking for money. And that the money has refused to come. So he wants to show this money that it cannot hold back his life. So he told the wife, I want to marry you, but I don't have money. Can we go on? And God does some things to people. Just let it look. Except you cross that hurdle. I don't know the details of his story, but it's a story I told you last time. One of my friends, something similar happened to him. I can use that his own story to finish it. At that time he was out of job. He was out of work for certain reasons. He was just pursuing. In fact, how he used to make money. That's what I'm talking about, a man who's responsible. Tap somebody, say, be responsible. You know how he used to get money? Where he was working, there was a problem in the establishment, so they sacked a lot of people. And he got caught in that whole thing. All right? He didn't do anything wrong, but he got caught so they sacked him. And he was doing a postgraduate program in Unilag. So, you know, and he was a bright chap. So, you know what he used to do? He used to go and give lectures to people who want to write ICANN. He would give lecture. Those who are doing a MSc program, he would give lecture. He was going from one place to the other, giving lectures to people. That was how he was getting some money. So, meanwhile, the woman he was engaged to, wanted to marry, she was just finishing from school. She's a pharmacist. So, how far now? She said, okay, look, let's do this marriage thing now. The guy said, no problem. So the man puts money together. Then one of my friends called me and sent me, do I remember? I think it was 5,000 naira or less. But let's just say 5,000 naira, some years ago, okay? And we went to Nitel phone to go and call my friend. I told him, look, this guy said I should give you 5,000 naira. So we went to Nitel phone booth to go and call that my friend. He said, boy, I saw the bomb you sent. 5,000 was bomb. Bomb. So he took the five bomb, added to the other grenades, and every other thing he has connected. I'm telling you, I was at the wedding. I drove one of the cars. When I say one of the cars, one of the boys, one of his own car was one raw old ramshackle gallant, just driving the thing up and down. We're all there together. But I still remember that picture that day after the whole wedding. It was a small ceremony, very small ceremony. The girl's father didn't even have time to come. He gave his blessing, but he didn't have time to come because he was involved in some political move about that time. Make a long story short, too. This responsible man got a job. What am I saying? When the girl was doing NYC, he had not yet gotten the job, I remember, because they were still managing NYC at Lawe with small monies he was getting from giving lecture here and there. But when God opened the door, One day, I went to Lagos. My friend said, I said, okay, follow me somewhere now. Where? I told him where. He said, he will follow me, but we'll have to go and see this guy first. I said, where is he? They said, he walks somewhere around there. So we got to one bank that time. I got in there, said, we're looking for this guy. Ah, he came out. He, guys, I'm in a meeting. Can I come and see you guys later? Where will you be? We told him. Then when he showed up later, he showed up with one brand new Honda like this, with one driver at the, you know, this thing, and he was sitting at the back. Ah. So I said, what's going on? How far with that car? He said, oh, it's my official car. Official? What are you officializing? Are you getting my point? And I asked him, I said, are you an AM, a DM, or an M? I said, thank you. I'm an M. Are you deceiving me or something? He said, when he joined the place, he performed so well, all right, his promotion was rapid. Later on, when we got to his house, his wife at that time had two children. I looked at him, I said, oh boy, I hope I can use it to preach. He said, feel free. The story was too dramatic. Let me tell you something about money. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. It's not there now, does not mean it won't come tomorrow. It's there now, does not mean it will not go. So better trust in God and forget all of these things. You see, foolish girls say, I'm looking for a man that will take care of me. I've told you, you're not a project in life. Nobody should be taking care of you. Life is hard enough as it is. You have to run the ministry, you know. You should be looking for a woman to take care on top of all of this. Does it make sense? Ask the lady beside you, does it make sense? It doesn't make any sense. Are you looking for a woman to take care of? Please, who's looking for a woman to take care of? You have not found yet. Not looking for a woman to take care of at all. The wife I marry, I'm not taking care of her. She's taking care of me.
As a monkey.
Yes, now. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will do what? I will make him somebody to help him. Who's taking care of who now? Scripture is so revolutionary. The Lord is good. You're not looking for a man that will take care of you. Looking for a responsible man who together you can accomplish the purpose of God. Are you getting my point here? That's what you are looking for. A responsible man who together you can accomplish what? The purpose of God. Anything you want in life, pray about it. Let me just warn you ahead. That dream wedding is not going to happen. Okay, Nan? That dream wedding, what did I say will happen to it? It's your daughter that will have that wedding. Just go and write everything you want to do down. You'll do it for your daughter. But you, forget that thing. Tell that woman beside you, forget that thing. If she's single, tell her forget that thing. Tell her forget that thing. Nobody's taking you to Dubai for honeymoon. Forget that thing. Honeymoon is going to be your BQ. Forget that thing. You're not going anywhere. See, this man does not know how to prophesy. That's your problem. I'm telling you the word of God. Forget that thing. You're not going for any dream, what rubbish dream wedding is that? You will give your daughter, that's for sure. Can give your sons. I have no problem with that. But you ain't going to get it. Look, I told you, in town, I'm one of the few pastors that tell you the truth. I don't lie to you. Give an offering tomorrow. Today you'll be a millionaire. Tomorrow. You should lie. Give an offering today. And tomorrow you give another offering. The third day you'll give another offering. If you have a 10 near today, tomorrow you may be 100 near. If you have 100 near today, maybe after tomorrow can be 200 near. One day you'll be 1,000 near. One day you will be a millionaire. One day you will be a billionaire. I'm just saying it's not going to be tomorrow. That's all I'm saying. If anybody says the one offering, I'll tell you a story of widow of Zarephath. Widow of Zarephath, go and ask how much oil and this thing was coming out. Just enough food for each day. So just forget that thing. What did I say? Answer me now. Forget that thing. If you want to serve God, serve God. God does not make emergency millionaires. He trains people up to become productive. That's what he does. He trains you, become productive. You start creating things. You start developing a reputation. That's what he does. They gave you 100 million naira today. You'll be poor after 2 weeks. If you have never seen that kind of money before. So forget this emergency breakthrough you are looking for. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What is going to happen? God is going to build you up. Somebody say, build you up. That's what he's going to do, and he's going to give you the power to create wealth. That's what he's going to do. And for the lady I was talking to, that dream wedding will not happen. So forget it. You know how I'm sure it won't happen? It's not in the Bible. And it's not. It doesn't guarantee anything. So God doesn't worry himself about things like that. If I need you to deliberately accept that I will not get that dream wedding, and that is a test of your faith, it is a test that you love God. Oh, I forgot to tell you. All your friends will laugh on Facebook. Oh, that Facebook is a terrible thing. Let me tell you ahead. Exit Facebook. What did I say? Exit. So that you won't see when they are laughing at your gown. But there's one thing Englishman said. He who laughs last, laughs best. One day, one of those days when we were in Lagos, Pastor Paul, you preached a message. So there was one lady he met somewhere. He went somewhere those days. And he saw the lady. I know something led to it. He went to an office. He was walking in that office. I said, ah, madam, you dress heavy. Are you getting my point? No. He just said, when the lady stood up, he just said, ah, madam, you dress heavy. Something, you know, they're talking about some things. Now, when you could, you know, if you know something, you can take quality from a distance. So the other guy in the office just said, ah, don't mind how the husband drives an E-class just to show how rich the man was. So they now got talking. You know, he said something. That the lady said that when he first married her, that together they used to literally push the, you know, the little old car he had, they used to push it together. That's what I'm you know, I'm telling the story. Said my friends used to laugh. That's what I'm telling the story. The lady said my friends used to laugh at me. And I said, those are your friends. Where are they now? Said they can't stand where I'm standing. That they can't. So Englishman said, he who laughs last, laughs best. So let them laugh at you. You came to this meeting today, the Lord wanted to remove the idea of dream wedding from you. The man who you really want to marry, your major problem is that he can't afford it. And God will not let him afford it. And in Jesus' name, may he not even try to afford it. Let him have sense in his head. How are we wasting good money on temporary things? The Lord is good. I told you once, just when I wanted to ask my wife to marry me, I went to Yaba, Teju Osho Market, that Fashola has demolished and built a new one. And bought a ring, that time was 300 naira. 300 naira, I tell Asuma, may marry me. 300. Yes, bigger money then than now, but even if it's not, it's not more than 1.5. Okay, let's push it 2,000. And I carry my ring. Please, the Lord said, I didn't say the Lord said, all right, just kidding. But actually the Lord said, I now know. But that time I thought it was just me. Okay, marry me. Anyway, let's make a long story short. She collected my ring and wore it on. She wore it down to Enugu. She kept on wearing that ring forever, 300 naira. And then one day, I just woke up one day. I said, what's going on? That's when Enugu here. It was her birthday. I said, what's going on? Let's replace that ring. Of course, we bought a decent wedding ring, which is still there. Her own is missing. Mine is still there. All right, she wears mine once in a while because the size of the fingers have changed over time. The Lord is good. One day I just woke up and said, let's go and buy a ring, Seth. It was her birthday. She didn't know. I just went to buy a ring. And when I bought it, I bought two of them. One was 25,000. Second one, 25,000. I paid the person 50,000 and collected two rings. Say, your birthday, wear new ring. Those rings today, if it's today, each one cannot be less than 150,000. I just bought it in one day. The Lord is good. Even though the beginning may be small, the latter end will greatly increase. And I don't know, Christian women, Christian men, don't treat this marriage thing like unbelievers. We are Christians. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you're a Muslim here, say amen. There's no Muslim. If you're an unbeliever, say amen. Nobody. No guy. If you're a Christian, say amen.
Amen.
So when we are Christians, we must behave like Christians. The man is pursuing you, are saying that the local government is from, my father doesn't like it. Better go and pray for your father so that he wake up out of his slumber. In fact, it's the men that even annoy me the most, not even the women. The women, I even understand their problem. Even though I don't agree, but I understand. But the men is still thinking, that girl is from Onitsha. I don't like Onitsha girls. Don't let God slap you for breakfast, though. The money, they just say, okay, let's slap somebody around. Who do we use this money? There's one stupid boy, and they don't go there. Bring him. Angels will be using your ears to play table tennis. And they will do it if you don't stop talking nonsense. Christian man. Say, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. If anyone is in Christ, the person is a new creature. All things have passed away. The Lord is good. The prophetic anointing has gone down. Let's now go to the teaching anointing. I was talking to people there. Somebody is thinking that, Pastor, did they report me to you? Yes. It's who that you don't know. It's the Holy Spirit that reported you. And he didn't tell me who you are. So I'm talking to you. Honestly, I don't know you are the one. In fact, you may even be listening to this on tape, on CD, maybe on the internet. I don't know it's you. Just make your life ground to a halt because of stupidity. Is it good? Because you don't want to agree with God. People will never move forward in life except they agree with God. Oh, except you agree with him, you are not going anywhere. You're stagnated. One spot. Roaming around the wilderness. Why is everybody quiet and sober? Holy Spirit. Okay. This year, you will marry him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes, whoever I'm talking to, I'm talking to you. And you will prosper abundantly.
Amen.
And God will use you in this your life.
Amen.
And you, your husband, your children, you will be great.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will bless you specially. He will cause all grace to flow towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. And you will abound to every good work. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It will come to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to the teaching on the pursuit of God. If you are ready for that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read a number of scriptures that we have been on. I have a number of them I want to read for today, but let's start with the one we read last time, the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's start with it. Jeremiah chapter 23. So as to save time, I'm going to quickly go to the God's Word translation, and let's just use that one immediately. I'm going to just start from verse 16. This is what the Lord of armies says. Don't listen to what the prophets are saying to you. They fill you with false hope. They speak about visions that they dream up. These visions are not from the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says everything will go well for you. They tell all who live by their own stubborn ways, nothing bad will happen to you. Now, where I'm reading it is what is supposed to be the life of a prophet. Verse 18, he said, who is in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word? That is, before somebody can go out and speak for God, she must have been in the Lord's counsel. If you read my New Living Translation, that's what it says. New American Standard. This Bible says he must be in the Lord's inner circle. What do they do in the Lord's inner circle? They see his word and they hear his word. Did you notice that? They see the plan of God and they hear his word. They pay attention and listen to his word. He said, who is in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word? So the storm of the Lord will come with his anger. That's the truth in this situation, verse 19. Like a windstorm, it will swirl down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has done everything he intends to do. In the last days, you will understand this clearly. The Lord said again, I did not send these prophets, that's verse 21, yet they ran with their own message. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If they had been in my inner circle, that's where true prophets originate from, they would have announced my words to my people. They would have turned back from their evil ways, that is my people, and the evil they have done. Let me just stop here. So you see, for them to be able to announce the words of God to the people of God, They had to be in his inner circle. And that's what prophets are. People who are in the inner circle of God. Last time we spoke about this prophetic matter, about being a prophet of God. And I began to explain something. Let me just review it briefly in just a few minutes. We established the fact that, see, what God wants is prophets on the earth. God has his will in the heavens. And for his will to be executed on this earth, he said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. And God follows his own rules. He gave the earth to the sons of men. For that reason, before he does anything on the earth, he talks to them first. He said this clearly. Surely the Lord God does nothing. Amos chapter 3, we read that. We won't go to it now. Except he reveals his secret counsels to his servants, the prophets. What does that mean? Why the prophets? Why not his servants, the teachers? Why not his servants, the pastors? No. He said the servants, the prophet. Now, I'm not talking about prophetic ministry now, but just to emphasize the fact that the prophesying is important. The prophesying is important. Why is it that he said the Lord can do nothing? Surely the Lord does nothing. It is not because he doesn't like to do it, but because without the servants, the prophets prophesying, what he wants to do will not be done. That is just the way it is. Those things will not at all be done. Now listen to this. If the plan of God does not work out on the earth, eventually the earth collapses on itself. That's the way it works. That's how he has designed it. If God wants to do what God wants to do in a country like this does not come to pass, the country eventually collapses on itself. For that reason, to prevent it, what does the Lord do? He sends his servants into the place and he says, they are my prophets. We established last time that there is nothing on this earth. If I use the example of technology, okay? I use that as an example. There is nothing on this earth that comes to pass except a prophet prophesies it ahead of time. Once I was watching Robert Sliadon talk about John Alexander Dowie. He said long before there was radio, Dowie in his frustrations, because he wanted to minister the healing power of God to multitudes, but he was limited to those who could come physically to hear him. He now said, a day will come that I will write here, my words will be carried to people who are thousands of kilometers away, and the healing power will ride on those words and meet them in their homes. That became radio later. Are you getting my point here? He was not a man into technology, but he just saw the day coming and he announced it. The same man announced that a day will come, there will be devices to capture my picture and show it to the sick beside their beds. Are you getting my point? With a sound, and it will be as if they are in the auditorium in the meeting with us. And it happened, and you and I today call it television. The example I gave last time was that the Lord said, in the last days it will come to pass, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And you see, we look at it and say, listen, well, that means that the Holy Spirit will come down and fall on people. But you must understand that the wisdom of God has breadth. The wisdom of God has length. The wisdom of God has depth. There are different levels to the wisdom of God. Are you getting my point here? So there's one part of it that the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit falls upon somebody and they come and speak in tongues. I said, this is that which was spoken. There is much more to that which was spoken. How do I know? The Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak, their spirit and their life. So when he said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, it means I will pour my word upon all flesh. You know, today I was just going through my phone and suddenly I stumbled on it again. The complete book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And I said, this is what the Lord was saying. At each point in time, between my tab, my phone, and my computer, I have literally hundreds of books. Hundreds of books. Hundreds of books. Christian books teaching the word of God. And it's just there. And I can easily share with people. And that's why as a minister, and as a ministry also, Kingdom World Ministries, we try to remove the restrictions to the fulfillment of that word. So once a word is on our website, we want people to be able to click on it and easily download it. Because it is a fulfillment of the word that Joel spoke. That in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We said that the Bible that we get, even before this modern technology, just printing, for that to be fulfilled, God gave the wisdom to print. Wisdom for printing was released for the fulfillment of the word of God, that he will pour his spirit upon all flesh. So there was a time the Bible was just a few people having it in a few congregations. Are you getting my point? Chained to the pillar in certain churches. But now, every Christian household, you enter my house, both complete and the ones in pieces, you will count them in dozens. And that's, and you bear it in mind, I have not personally bought a Bible in years. Why? I switched to digital Bible. That is paper Bible. I've bought a few digital ones, all right? But downloaded most of them for free, paid for a few so they can enter into my Olive Tree device. The main thing God was doing was fulfilling his word. When he said that knowledge will increase, knowledge has to increase through printing. And later on, these devices came, that's internet. So we download now. In fact, we can't even count how many Bibles are being downloaded anymore. Even down in the center of Saudi Arabia, where they believe that they are the custodians of Islam, down in the center of Egypt, in the hottest places, in those places, people are reading the true word of God. There's a book I have in which a man, a Christian in Egypt, they said Egypt is the intellectual capital of Islam. That is, when you're talking about studies and, you know, schools and all of that, Egypt is the headquarters. All right? The physical one, pilgrimage, that one is Saudi Arabia. But they say Egypt is the intellectual headquarters. So there's this particular man, a Christian. One day he was sleeping. Then he just felt maybe like a gun on his head and he woke up. He had just been kidnapped. A man didn't get up. The man was blindfolded. Let's make a long story short, because I don't have all the time now, all right, to spend on that. The man just said, yeah, follow me. And they took him. They jumped on walls, going through some back alleys, went to corner. Finally, they entered the warehouse, and then he entered the place, and they locked the door. He had been kidnapped. Then the kidnapper removed his scarf, the veil over his head, and said, I'm sorry. It had to be like this. But don't worry, you're not in danger. He dropped his gun. Next thing the guy looked, he saw a lot of Islamic clerics. They sat in a circle. They were waiting for him. He said, sorry, we have to do it this way. So that nobody will know that we have been instructed to hear the word of truth from your mouth. They knew him as a preacher. He said, but we can't come in the open, so we have to kidnap you. So, you get my point? So they kidnapped the man into an empty warehouse, locked the place, over a dozen of them, and he began to teach them the word of God. Let nobody lie to you that Islam is advancing. Jesus is not sleeping. The word of God, and that's why he needs prophets. You must see, this is what Satan tries to do, is to make us prophesy the negative. I hear people say all the time, Islam is advancing. Turkey people, Turkey is coming to open Turkey schools in Nigeria. Let them open. And then you talk like chicken. They are afraid. They only told me, I said, if it's me, Turkey said they want to enter university. They open university. There is no problem. We will sit down or give. All that I'll just demand is that we demand scholarships. That's what I will do. I will say, okay, well, for you to open it, you have to open like 3 in southern Nigeria, and at least, you know, you can open north if you want to. They will say, yes, this is where we need to do Islamic evangelism. They won't know that we know the word of God. What word will I be operating? The Bible says that strangers will build your walls. That will be the word I will be operating. When you come to teach, it's not medicine you are going to teach. It's a university. It's not physics. It's not engineering. Are you getting my point? Adults that want to be Muslim, then they become Muslims. But then since you are down here, we say we can have fellowship on campus. Student union will demand fellowship. Your lecturers from Turkey will speak in tongues before, by the time we are done with them. I mean, why are we afraid? He's saying, they fear. Let's stop prophesying with Satan. Let us prophesy with God. What did he say? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The gates of, he said, the kingdom of God. He said that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell those who do not understand. What Jesus was saying was that gates don't move. Are you getting my point here? It is not the hell that's advancing. It is the church that is advancing. So hell will try to lock his gates. So it is not as if we stand in any way, we stay whatever corner where we want to hide as Christians. And whoever is coming, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's not that scripture. That scripture says that you will get up and go somewhere. When you get there, the gates of hell will not be able to stop the advancement of the gospel. That was what Jesus said. Let's stop prophesying with the enemy. Be forwarding rubbish up and down WhatsApp. And they are killing Christians. When you announce, the more you announce, the more Christians get killed. Let them see, oh God, I pray you get this point. When you hear stories like this I have told today, go and buy the book, Dreams and Visions. That's the title of the book. Compile the stories into messages and start falling around. Let it float all over the world. Like my friend Pastor Corey would say, they should hear what God is doing and they should be afraid. Not we hearing what they are doing and becoming afraid. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. Listen, that's the point I'm trying to bring out again. We are God's prophets. Everything God wants to do, I was saying, so he prophesied it ahead, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Now, he needs us to prophesy. That's what we have been trying to explain last time. The first man he put on the earth, Adam, was God's prophet. He was God's prophet. We read from Psalm 105. He said he moved them about from one place to the other. He suffered no man to do them any wrong, saying, touch not my anointed, and do not do my prophet any harm. And who was he talking about? Abraham. Who was he talking about? Isaac. Who was he talking about? Jacob. These are men that you never thought about in normal moments, as if these guys were prophets. He said, but do my prophets no harm. And we said, what is the job of those prophets? Those are people that declare the counsel of God unto the earth. These are men that God used to speak to. I don't want to preach that message again. I just want to revise it, okay? These are men that God, you see their prayers. Those prayers were not prayers, they were prophecies. He will say, come, let me tell you what will befall you in the days to come. And this man will stand. And the fathers will start looking at them. Reuben, you are my firstborn, but you are stable as water. You will not excel. And you give him a word. Are you getting my point? And he keep on declaring that the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And he declaring those words. Listen, each of those things were not prayers, they were prophecies. We discussed these things last time. What is God doing? He's raising prophets. I need to emphasize it. Let me get down to today's message. He's raising what? Prophets. He's raising you and me as prophets. That is, whatever he wants to do, our primary job is to learn how to prophesy. What Satan is doing in life is to let us think that our primary job is come to come and succeed, come to come and make money, come to be materially wealthy, come to be able to be influential in life. That's not the job. The primary job of the church of God is to prophesy the counsel of God into the earth. God has a purpose in each moment. Satan, let me talk about Satan for a moment. He helps people understand what God is doing. Satan also has something he wants to accomplish. And it is sad in our day today, especially in our environment, people every day are prophesying the will of the enemy. You hear the nonsense people say all over the place. Divide the country. Divide the country. You ask them, when did God say to you, I want to divide the country? Open your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 11. Let me tell you, child of God, be careful what you repeat. In every word you are speaking, you are either speaking for God or you are speaking for the devil. Let me say it again. Be careful what you repeat. You're either speaking for God or you are speaking for the devil. Some people tell you we are speaking the facts. The facts are the problem. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, that's the real problem. That's the fact that you think you are speaking the facts, that's what the problem is. Two sides of the facts. Number one, you don't even know whether they are facts. Because where were you when it was happening? Something happened in Abuja, they tell you, you believe it. Something happened in Onitsha, you are in Enugu, they tell you, you believe it. It happened in Lagos, you tell you, you believe it. So the amount of facts you have depends on who is feeding you information. That was why the Arabs opened Al Jazeera. They found out, all right? Now again, I'm not taking sides, just giving you information. They found out, I even heard David Posse say it, all right? I heard David Posse say this. That most Americans only hear the Israeli side of the story, of the Arab conflict. So Al Jazeera decided they opened their own channel so as to show you another side of the story. Because facts depend on who's presenting them. Facts are used to manipulate your opinion. That is one side about facts. Second thing, which is more important, you cannot argue this, is that God is not interested in the facts now, coming from your mouth. He's interested in what tomorrow will be, and he wants your mouth and my mouth to create tomorrow. So he said, in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand that the worlds around us, the world system, the way things are framed, I want to modify it now, regularly by the word of God. So that what we see tomorrow will not be a result of the facts we see today. I don't know whether you hear that. That is, what will tomorrow be is not a result of the facts of today, but the result of the word spoken today. The words are framed by the word of God. And who brings forth the word? I used to think it's what God says. No, it is what the prophets say. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. God releases the word, yes, but the words are not effective until the prophet says something. That's why you and I have to be careful. Recently, I picked up a new set of prayer points. I don't know whether it's right for me to share it, but I decided personally. There are times I come out of my house and I stay on my balcony and I declare words against anybody who throws strife into the airwaves. Yeah, it's my duty. I just come out and I declare against anybody who throws strife into the airwaves. Why? Because you must understand about God's judgment. I said we should read somewhere. Isaiah chapter 11. From verse 1. He said, then a shoot, I'm reading New American Standard. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now notice this. He will delight. Now notice that. He said he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see. That's what I'm talking about. The facts of today are not the things determining how he will judge. Nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Please notice this all. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Let me stop reading here. Just the first 5 verses. Now, why did I read this? This is a type. This was a prophecy concerning, as you can easily guess, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand something. Anything God says about Christ, he's saying by extension about his church. Do you know why? We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He described the church, Paul was writing, as the foundation and the pillar of truth. What am I saying? That's why I tell Christians, please, there are words you should not use. Oh God, please, let me get down to, maybe this is the season of my ministry. Okay, let me talk. I need to talk into Nigeria. There are things you should never say. Have you heard things like this before? Let's divide the country. And when you are saying it, you are thinking of cut away called northern states. Are you getting my point? Yes, cut away called northern states. Now listen to me. Let the unbeliever say it. None of my business. Let the angry man on the street say it. None of my business. But the church must never say it. The church that says it will have troubles. The church that says it will be persecuted in their homes. The church that says it will have poverty. The church that says it will have diseases. The church that says it will have premature death. The church that says it will be confused and it will be confounded. The church that says it will be punished by God. Any church, if people open their mouths and say that thing again, God will punish that congregation. He will scatter them. The pastor will disappear. The building will collapse. They will look for a place they will not find. The people that God loves will plant them elsewhere. Do you know why? They are speaking against God. I'll tell you why. He said something of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Why should you say that? He said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Why are you giving any section of it to Islam? I told you last time. I forwarded to some of you. Something came up in my local, in my brethren chat group, and we're talking. And my friend Pastor Courage in Sokoto made a statement. I said, my God. He said, I am beginning to sense the move of the Spirit towards Maiduguri. Did you hear that? I have the chat here. I can pull it out for you. In fact, I will pull it out. All you overfed, overcomfortable, jobless people who don't love God or love people, repent. Let me show you what men who love God are saying. He said, as the Lord began to impress, listen to what he said. As the Lord began to impress strongly in my heart that it was time to head towards Maiduguri, I began to wonder and ask what I will preach there. And he clearly told me, my love, that conquers hate. And that's how the word, lighting up our world with the love of God, came about. He said, one of my greatest desires now is that I believe it's not beyond God that from here we'll put the gospel on air. Talking about over there. He said, remember, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He put in bracket Maiduguri. He said, it's a timely word. It was referring to something. It's a confirm. Somebody wrote something that followed it. He was responding to it. He said, it's a confirmation for me. Actually, he was responding to this speech by the acting president at PFN conference in Benin. Yes, he was responding to it. He said, that thing is a confirmation to me. And I also personally bear witness to how the demon of hate has eaten us up. We Christians. And its influence in our language, choices, decisions, etc. He said, Lord, have mercy. This man is in Sokoto. And he's thinking we need to advance the gospel. He said, the Holy Spirit is moving me now towards Maiduguri. One of my doctors is a Christian, but maybe not a vibrant Pentecostal like many of us here. He used to work in Kebbi. He's an Igbo man too, from I think Anambra State. Or somewhere around here, maybe Enugu, Anambra, I'm not sure. When they say divide the country, he laughs. He tell me, say, Oga, leave these people who are saying it. They've never been anywhere. Say, they've never left the South. What do they know? He said, I used to live in Kebbi. He said, sir, you can't divide the country. He said, if you divide the countries, the Christians will be wiped out. He said, what is keeping them alive is that the country is one. So if there's crisis, I'm adding my own words now, Nigeria may can arise. With all the noise we are making, like Nigeria may now has, they have a brigade now in Sambisa. They've opened a new brigade in Southern Kaduna. Are you seeing my point? Why? It's Nigeria. Most of the things they tell you this is their lies. Okay? I'm not going to talk about that. People talk about lies. But the point is this. Men who have been there, that guy told me, he said, look, he said, when I hear people talk, he said, okay, leave them. They don't know anything. He says, ignorance that is worrying our people. He said, I used to live in Kebbi. He said, listen. He said, they haven't seen anything. He said, they just sit down in the South. What have they seen? He said, sir, they can't divide this country. He said, the cost to people who are deep inside there will be too high. For these people who feel secure in their homes. Let me tell you, God punishes Christians. Let nobody preach to you that he doesn't. He does. When he's angry, you think you are secure, he will send kidnappers and armed robbers and trouble and riots around you. You will run to the north for safety. Don't open your mouth and say things that provoke his wrath. Don't. As for the Islam you see, God is not afraid of them whatsoever. God is not afraid whatsoever. The one you are seeing, he's not afraid. The day he says, thus far and no further, every suicide bomber will suddenly lose heart. He will withdraw that spirit of suicide from them and throw it back into hellfire. They will not want to die. What am I saying? So Christians, be careful how you use your words. You are God's prophets. When you say, divide the country, divide the country. If you say it long enough, if every Christian says, divide it, he cuts it. He will. Then there will be repercussions where you thought you were safe. After all, you were saying divide it because you thought you were safe. If you knew that only in the Lord was righteousness and was strength, you wouldn't say that. If you knew that the Lord is your strong tower, you wouldn't say that. If you were confident that God will protect you from all evil, you wouldn't say that. Many times God has to unsettle people who think they are safe. So David said it like this, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. Let's make a long story short. Then God moved me. I realized that safety is not in my prosperity. What am I trying to say? That's what God raised prophets for. Prophets should have been getting up and declaring. And you've heard us pray in Kingdom World Ministries. We're not bragging, but it's a fact. That's how we used to pray. We say, remember our prayers, that we refuse to yield a square inch of this country to any other God. Remember, we declare from here, say from the north to the south, to the east, from the east to the west, every square inch of this country, we claim for the Lord Jesus. As it is written, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We declare that all the time. Then we speak the word of God against the destroyer. And then one day I was reading my Bible, and Isaiah, he said, "Woe to you, destroyer. As soon as you finish destroying, then you shall be destroyed." So that is the word of God for the crisis. So you should wake up every morning and declare it, but never, ever open your mouth and say, "Hey, get in the country." Because when I divide it, does it become easier or more difficult to preach the gospel there? Did you not hear that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the earth? Why are you saying divide? What's happening? The prophets are confused. Later on, we'll talk about the madness of the prophet. What we find a lot of this is that a lot of our prophets are mad. They are mad. And read your Bible. You know what maddens prophets? What makes them kolo? Money. It is money. When Balaam saw money, he went mad. When people see prosperity, they go mad. When they build a cathedral, they start prophesying nonsense. That is when prophets go mental. The duty, that's what I'm talking about, of prophets is to bring out God's judgment, God's plan onto the earth. And he said it here, we read it in Isaiah chapter 11. He said, he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. He was talking about the physical things around. He said, but how will he judge? He will judge with righteousness. He will decide with fairness. What does it mean to judge with righteousness? It is simple. He will go into the word of God, like we read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, if they had been in my counsel, if they had been in my inner circle, what do they do in my inner circle? They pay attention to my words. What do they do in the inner circle? They see my plan. What do they do in the inner circle? Listen to this. I infuse my spirit into them. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and strength. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what I infuse into them in my inner circle. And when a man, when a woman has a kind of spirit, it affects how he sees, affects how she judges. I hope you're getting my point here. When people are, when they are filled with the spirit of newspapers, you see the way they judge. They've read the back page of This Day, back page of Punch, back page of Guardian, and those that filled them with the spirit. And listen, you don't know what's pushing people, though. So people are angry at promotion in the office. They worked in civil service for a long time. Then when it was time for promotion, one man that has more leg than them, or that God favored more than them, got the place, and they did not. And of course, you know the Nigerian story is tribalism. Thank you. And now brings to the page of the newspaper where he gets a new job. You don't know what is pushing him. He's angry. Your father that said you can't marry a man from this place, you don't know what's pushing him. Listen, the first girl he wanted to marry before your mother, a man from that place took her. And you think he's speaking by revelation? I was 32 years ago. He has not forgotten. Now I want to marry from that place. He's now thinking, I will not go to, hey, Lila, I will let those people come to my house to pay bride price. He's still angry with Uchenna. And especially because that time Uchenna had a car he did not have. So it was that car he believes, it may be wrong, go, that he used to sway the family of that girl. And then finally, he lost out. So he's angry. He said, the man from that, I will never let any of my children marry from that place. And you think he's speaking by revelation. You don't know a man is angry. Let me just say something about politicians. Don't follow them. What did I say? I've finished talking about your father now. I'm talking about politicians. Don't follow them. What did I say? You know that time, how many people remember June 12th? You know June 12th?
Yes.
No, in fact, many things in Nigeria. I'll tell you about June 12th, then I'll tell you about another one. When people were running up and down and fighting for June 12th, especially in the West, Now, as a matter of fact, it was the freest and fairest election Nigeria ever saw, and that Nigeria has seen till now. I've not seen anyone like it. I was serving in the north. I didn't go for duty that day because I said I was working the clinic, so I needed to go to work. So, but the other coppers went to work as electoral officers. And the elections were orderly. Up there, MK Abiola won in Taraba State where I served. He won at the local government. He won all over the country. Then finally, Babangida rose up and annulled the election. And riots began all over the country and all of that. But you know one reason why I didn't believe in the riots? I'm not saying, look, people were fighting for democracy, fine. I'm not saying they were not. But I did not know how to take sides between MK Abiola and, and Babangida. These are men that used to, I don't know whether you're getting my point. They are friends. So it's okay to fight for democracy, but I had a problem with fighting for MK Abiola against Babangida. Not because I did not believe in democracy or anything, but I was just a bit one kind, you know, like they say, that these two men, when they settle quarrel tomorrow, you know, go there. So I said, no, leave them. In my mind, please, this route, make speeches, but don't die for it. My reason was just simple. I don't know what these men are saying behind. Then somebody has written another narrative, put in the newspapers, and then me, I will not be fighting over it. I don't know. That's just me. Don't follow any of these big men. No matter what they say in the radio, don't listen to them. When they go back to at night, they are selling the common. I don't know whether you are getting my point. They are negotiating people away. So okay. All right. How much is that going to be? That will be $100 million. Are you serious? For that, we'll sell you all the people in Enugu State. Are you happy? Then the Alhaji will say yes. That same man will come on air. This is marginalization. You don't know he has collected $100 million. Oh God, I wish you knew the kind of human beings you are dealing with. They are like that. Listen, they fly up and down from Sokoto to Owerri to Ota, conniving. Yeah. So me, when I see him making noise, I said, this man, please, I'm telling you in Jesus' name, don't follow them. They, amongst themselves, they are so united. You now come on, man will be fighting themselves. Look, better marry that girl. Forget all of these things. The men are buff. I know what I'm telling you. Marry who you want to marry. Those men, don't let them lie to you. They sit down there and share everything. And come on airwaves and be using you to manipulate election. That's what they do. How do we get these votes? Sell them a lie. Then they finish selling the lie, everybody will move out to one party, destroy one particular vote. The man said, did it work? It worked. Good. Rig the balance out. Let me finish my message. Let me just leave this room. The Lord is good. What I have told is the truth. So don't, all these big men, don't, what did I say? Don't follow them. Don't follow them. Don't let them move you up and down. The Lord is good. Now, we're reading something here. So many times people are filled with the spirits of people who are angry. Many times they are filled with the spirit of people who are manipulative. They are filled with the spirits of people who are going after their own interest. They imbibe that spirit, and when the church imbibes it, the church starts prophesying lies. That's what I'm talking about. The church starts prophesying lies. They start prophesying lies. What do I mean by lies? They start saying things that God does not want to do. I said to people, read your Bible. He said, one thing that God hates is a person who separates brethren. That is why I told you, I wake up these days and prophesy against those who throw strife into the air. That is one thing that God hates. The church finishes imbibing a wrong spirit. What happens? They start prophesying division. They start prophesying lies. They start prophesying that progress will not occur. They start prophesying to the head of state that he will not do well. They start prophesying to the head of state that he will die. These are people that have power in their mouths but who have been corrupted by Satan. That's what I'm going to explain. Why? They've imbibed a wrong spirit. They are now working for Satan instead of working for God. And it's very subtle. I mean, just hear people who are unbelieving. Hear them talk every day. See their chats. See the kind of things they throw out in social media. You will think you are living in hell. In fact, you know, when some of my guys who are abroad, some of my classmates who are living outside the country, when they ask some questions, they will ask you some questions, you give them some answers. Are you getting my point? And then, do you know the truth? They are surprised that, are you saying this is how it is in Nigeria? Say, what did you think before? Say, that's not what we hear over here. Please, you are getting my point here. They feel, look, people fill the airwaves with everything that is negative. And listen to me, those things they fill the airwaves with are creative forces. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Those things are designed to create the negativity they are prophesying. And you will be doing God a disservice. You will be working against the program of God for your life to join them. These are people speaking because they are angry. They are speaking because they are uninformed. They are speaking because they have a wrong spirit. They are speaking because they are trying to manipulate the populace. But they throw a wrong spirit into the air. And young prophets, if I may use the expression for the average Christian, imbibe that spirit and start lying. But what did God say? This is what a believer should do. That Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 23. He said he should come into the council of God or into the inner circle of God. What is God doing there in the inner circle? He said he's filling them with the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and strength. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. As a result, the people will delight in the fear of the Lord, and they will not judge by what their eyes see or what their ears hear. But with righteousness, they will judge. They will decide with fairness. Righteousness simply means they are judging in agreement with what God is saying. But please, I need to go back to that Jeremiah chapter 23 and just bring out something there. You see exactly how is it that people remain in the counsel of God. Maybe next time I'll talk about the pursuit of eternal life as part of this our pursuit of God series. Because that is how people enter into God's counsel. I need to get that Jeremiah 23 back into our faces. What happens in the council? We mentioned it earlier. I just wanted to read it again. He said, in that council, in verse 16 down to 18, yes. Verse 18, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given it to his word and listened? That's what I'm bringing out. There, people see the plan of God. They hear the word of God. They give heed. They pay attention. And as a result, God pours his spirit inside them. Let me say this to you. When they have that spirit, they are able to interpret life differently. And then they start uttering words. That's the point I'm making all of these things. And their words start shaping the next set of events on the earth. Listen, we Christians are not allowed, listen to me, to utter popular words. Yes. Our duty is not to utter popular words. We are to utter the word of God. What is the word of God? The plan that he has for a people. And how do we discover that? You can never discover it except you first imbibe his spirit. How do you imbibe the spirit of God? It's simple, like what you are doing this evening. That's how to get into God's inner circle. You sit down with his word and allow his spirit permeate inside you. I said something the other day that Moses, now listen to this carefully. Moses will leave the presence of God and his face will be shining. And Moses will not even know that his face is shining. What does that tell you? As he's staying in God's presence, the divinity, the life of God enters into him, changes his being, he does not even know. Now, this is a practical application that I have personally experienced. Things happen. The way you react, you know, the Bible says out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, how do things enter the heart? Things enter the heart, listen to this, through what the Greek calls mind. Information enters your heart through what the Greek calls what? Mind. What does mind mean? Mind means that I see something physically. I hear something with my ears. Okay? What does it... I'm trying to look for a quick example so I don't waste time. What does it bring as an impression in my heart? That's what mind means. Are you getting my point? For example, okay, yeah, I have a perfect example. Two of my colleagues, my classmates, that's university classmates, two of them went to... There's this conference of surgeons that's going off right now. Okay, it should end this weekend. Maybe like they'll be returning like today, tomorrow. A conference of surgeons, West African College of Surgeons. It's going on in Ouagadougou. Which country is Ouagadougou again? Burkina Faso, right? Yes. So, of course, people, a lot of my classmates are surgeons. They're in that college, all right? A number of them. So, two of them, they met there. So, they took a picture of themselves and sent to the group. So, in that picture, two men, so they were holding their hands like this, not happy to see themselves. Hey, man, see this guy here, see this guy. So, someone give, you know, you give someone your phone. So, they held their hands and took a picture. So, another guy replied from the UK. He said, it's good to have a clean mind, though. He said, two men holding hands does not happen in UK. He said, does anybody know why? I now replied, I said, yes, I know now. It is called Adam and Steve. I said, oh my God. So was I laughing. He now said, he lives in UK. He said, this is the advantage. He said, this is the advantage of unpolluted minds. All those of us in Nigeria saw those two guys holding their hands. They were like, they were happy to see each other. Exactly, brethren. We did not think anything of it. But a man who lives, like I told the guy who spoke, I said, like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw the picture and he said, you guys, why are you holding your hands? And those of us in Nigeria didn't think anything of it. They took another picture, this time around with a lady, all right, one of our ladies who was also there. So the lady was standing between them. So that guy's hand, again, I don't know how it happened. He rested on the guy's shoulder. Are you getting my point? So somebody said that, why are you still touching this guy now? I said, no, listen to this. I said, see what I allow. I said, do you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. I told them. I said, this is what I think happened. That for us, to put his hand on that lady's shoulder is a problem. So he removed his hand from the lady's shoulder and put on the guy next so that they could stay close to each other. He didn't want to hug another man's wife. Are you getting my point? He didn't want to put his hand across another man's wife. I said, that's how we are seeing it. I said, but those of you in Sodom and Gomorrah, you will see. I told them like that. I said, those of you in Sodom and Gomorrah, you have seen all kinds of things. And, you know, we laughed about it. And I said, I remember then when they said children were sleeping on Michael Jackson's bed. And I was like, maybe they just like him and he didn't mind them moving around. My children come to my room, they sleep on my bed. I didn't think anything of it because I was not alive to what they call not only pedophilia, but homosexual pedophilia. You know, it wasn't alive to us. So we're like, what is wrong with all of you? Now, you know what I've described is what the Bible calls what? Mind. That's why the Bible will say that the love between David and Jonathan was very strong. It was like the love of a man for a woman. And it doesn't cross your mind that they were gay. Don't worry, they were not. David could not have been. David? The same David? Davido. Lie. David. Hey, God. David. Oh, David. Bro, David. Lie. Homosexual. Now, the women were running from him. You are talking about David. David, even as an old man, they knew where his strength went. They say, oh, God, they cold too much. All these girls that collected his strength, get me a representative amongst them. They brought one young to me. I said, lie down there. And I could keep him warm. They knew where his strength went. That's why, David. I'm not talking about David, though. That guy is, oh God. He heard that his enemy died. He said, where is his wife? David's first five sons were born by five different women. They didn't count the girls. If we count the other girls born around that time, David must have impregnated 10 women side by side. That guy was bad. In medicine, there's what we call gene amplification. He was not amplified in solo. He said, look, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. You know, that was what Rehoboam said. David said, in the women area, I know that thing. So what I'm trying to say is that, so the possibility of him having been gay or homosexual was not there. It was not there. But the Bible says that the love between David and Jonathan was so strong, it was like the love between a man and a woman. They were that intertwined in their hearts. But you see, when you first read that, it didn't cross your mind. But people have used that scripture to prove that those days, men were into, you know, things like that, and it was okay with God. Men have tried. Now, I'm trying to explain what they call mind. Now, how you perceive things, how your mind reacts, is controlled by the kind of spirit you have. Are you getting my point? How your mind, how you perceive things is controlled by the kind of spirit you have. How you interpret things in the environment. Let me give you an example. Jesus says that when you see these things, rejoice. I was talking about calamity. When you see it, what do? You rejoice. When you have been with the Lord, when you have been in the inner council, the inner circle, when you see calamity, the spirit of Christ inside you, when it sees calamities, does not automatically say, we are dead though, we are dead though. What is wrong with this country? What kind of president do you have? No, they don't see it like that. Instantly, the spirit says, God is working something that we don't know. You look up, say, our salvation, our redemption draws near. Are you getting my point? And then as a result, they begin to prophesy, redemption draws near. Redemption draws near. And they are seeing calamity. I don't know whether you caught that. They see calamity, they say what? Redemption draws near. Redemption draws near. Why? They've imbibed the spirit of Christ. They have been in Christ's inner circle. They've been in Christ's inner circle. What am I saying today? The prophets of God, which is what you and I are, our duty, are you getting my point, is to stay with him until we imbibe his spirit so much that our mind, that is, without God, listen to this, without God saying anything to us, like he said this, but having been with him, our minds interpret things differently. You are rejected for a job, and you just smiled. You say, something else is coming. I don't know whether you get my point. Now, without realizing it, what did you say? You just prophesied. I don't know whether you got that. What did you just do? You prophesied. But the person with the unregenerated spirit, who has the spirit of the newspaper? Where is the MD from? It's an Nkanu man. I'm a new demon. That is why. So he started looking for, Egmo, do you know anybody from Nkanu? Why? I want to reapply in that company. I found out that the MD, are you seeing what I'm saying? But the person that has imbibed the spirit of Christ, he just laughs. Just laughs. All things work together for good to them that love God. What has he done? What has she done? Just right there, he has released a word into the atmosphere. And that word says, this thing must work for my good. Why? He first soaked of God's spirit. He's been in his inner circle. Remember something I said at the beginning? Let's never forget. Let me just revise that for a minute and I close. I said, many things have been written in heaven. By faith, we download the one that will happen. He said, like Abraham, that he was talking about Abraham. He said he was like God who quickened the dead and caused those things that be not as though they were, or caused into existence that which doesn't currently exist. So when a prophet of God, now you are seeing what prophets are now. Now don't forget something I said some time ago. Who's your greatest prophet? I didn't hear you well. Now, I want you to touch your greatest prophet. And nobody's coming to the pulpit to touch me. Okay, you see, I am not your greatest prophet. T.B. Joshua is certainly not your prophet at all. Are you getting my point? Muhammad is not your final prophet. Your own greatest prophet is you. Your own greatest prophet is you. What you don't say against yourself will not work against you. What you say against yourself, a prophet cannot prophesy it in your favor. It's so important we get that point. So when we have that spirit of Christ, when we've imbibed it, it affects how we judge situations. And our words are declarations of divine judgment. Are you getting my point here? Our words are declarations of divine judgment. You're going on the road. You are rushing to meet an appointment. Suddenly, bam, somebody hits your car. You know how an average person reacts? What kind of trouble is this one again? Anytime I want to succeed, this spirit of near success syndrome, it has come again. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire, it will not work against me. In the name of this man, are you the enemy they sent? In the enemy they sent, eh? You will not succeed, though. You are there, talking nonsense. But those of us that have drunk the spirit of Christ, we'll come and look at the car. What do we do? You look at the time. Wow. No matter what happens, I'm missing that appointment. Lord, I thank you because my blessing is labeled. If it is mine, it will wait. You just say that simply and say, okay, why did you bash my car? You start negotiating on that one. You finish that one. Say, let's get down there. 1 hour is gone. You get there. You enter the office. And they say, sorry. The bidding has closed. You were not around. Your company is no longer eligible. And you just smile. They say, look at who won it. Do you know that guy is not as good as you? And you tell the fellow, say, listen. I'm not the only one God wants to bless. He too has to eat. His wife has to eat. His children must go to school. This is not my own. My own is coming. Now, did you hear what he said? My own is what? Coming. Instantly, the angels move out and go and look for where it is. They start gathering it. He said, my own is coming. I want you to know every word you utter is a prophetic word. That's what I'm trying to say. And God needs you to utter. You know, many Christians just utter desire. Hiya! They utter desires. In the name of Jesus, I want a car. This year is my year of car. Oh, that's not good. That's all I can say. Listen, what do we utter as believers? First, we stay with him, like we're doing now. You are imbibing his word. Once the word is coming, the spirit is entering into you. Are you getting my point? Now, the spirit forms your opinion about life. And the opinion is just what God has written. Like, there's nothing I said now that's not in the scriptures. It's a direct quotation. Many of them, some of them I just amplify it a bit or modify it a bit. But I'm just giving you God's word. And the Bible said angels hearken to the voice of his word. It didn't say angels hearken to God. He said they hearken to what? The voice of his word. Any voice that utters the word of God, they respond to. You are getting my point? Any voice that utters the word of God, they will respond to it. Let me end with one thing. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't let anybody pollute it for you. Right outside, there are so many angry people. So many. They are not making progress, so they are angry. So they are polluting your mind for you. They start telling you that country. Let me give you an authentic word. Well, I heard it before, but now I have reason to believe it. So this dollar is going up, it's not going down, it's not moving left, it's not moving right. It's ending next year. Last year is the conclusion. Don't lose hope for any reason. Any business you want to do, continue strategizing, continue plotting, continue investing. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Don't let prosperity catch you jobless. It's not good. You hear what I understand what I say about that? By the time people want to spend money, your name is not attached to anything. That's why I tell Christians, be known. Now, I finished my message. I just want to greet you and then I'll come down. Be known for something. What did I say?
Be known for something.
Yes, when people hear your name, it should connect with one thing. It should connect. It should connect. That must be your primary target, not money. What does my name connect with? That's why, look, you know, I told you many years ago, Cosmo FM, they are doing health program. They will invite me. I've gone there. I told them I went to speak on fever. They speak on maybe febrile convulsion. I will come there too. One day they came and said, please, I want to do a program. I said, wait. I preach the word on air. I don't discuss health matter anymore. As any time you hear this voice on air, you must be declaring the counsel of God. So I locked the voice to the preaching of the word. I don't accept to go on radio for any other thing than to preach the word of God. So that anytime you hear the voice, you expect the counsel of God to be delivered. Do you get my point? Now, that's just an illustration. In the same manner in life, just make up your mind that what am I trying to do in life? I'm targeting where God will place me, where my name is associated with something. That's one thing I want you to know. You know what I'm saying? So, because prosperity will come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When it's coming, you should know what to find you in. Let me just end it there. I hope you've gotten my point today. Let's just give the Lord thanks once again for today. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. For I have freedom in Christ Jesus. Say, I have freedom in Christ Jesus. Say it in Christ Jesus. I'm totally free. In Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. In Christ Jesus, say, because of Christ, I have hope. Say, my tomorrow is bright. My destiny is bright. I'm walking into a secure destiny. Say, I'm not an average person. God is working specifically in my life. He's ordering my steps. He's leading me into his plan. Declare this by faith. Say, I am not confused. Things may not appear clear, but I am not confused. Say, the Holy Spirit is inside me and is leading me in the path of God. Say, the Holy Spirit is inside me and is leading me in the path of God. Say it, I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. Despite the circumstances, I am an overcomer. Saying all my disappointments, I have my advantage. It's important. It's important you understand that. Say it again. Even though I'm disappointed, an advantage has been created. If one door closes, it just means it's not my door. Another door, the door of God, will open for me. Now listen to this. This week I prophesy to somebody. A door is opening for you.
Amen.
A door better than the one that was closed against you.
Amen.
Is opening for you this coming week.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now watch something. It may not look so good initially. Let me give an example. There was a job you applied for. They were going to start you on the 100,000 naira, 150,000 naira a month. They wanted 4 people. You did well, but something happened. You were the 5th person. They didn't take you. Then you will get another one. They will probably offer you half of that. If it's in this week and it's a job in which there's righteousness, listen to this. Take it. What did I say? Initially, it will look like a smaller door. But the truth is that the size of the door does not determine the size of the room. I hope you are getting my point here. It does not determine the size of the room. There are small rooms that the whole front wall, all these shops beside the road, you know the whole front is a door.
Yes.
But how big is the shop? But there are massive halls that just have a 4-foot door to enter. Enter your own door. A great thing is waiting for you.
Amen.
You will go in there, you will get experience. You will come out with that experience and you'll be earning 10 times what they were paying you before.
Amen.
A great and effectual door is waiting for you.
Amen.
In ministry, a great door is waiting for you.
Amen.
In business, a great door is waiting for you.
Amen.
And listen to me, you know I preached at the beginning. In marriage, a great door is waiting for you.
Amen.
Even though the beginning of your marriage may appear small, hear the word of the Lord. The latter age shall greatly increase.
Amen.
Your children will be plenty.
Amen.
And all of them will be rich.
Amen.
Just to prove that the Lord is good.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when we repeat it, you personalize it. One more time. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Now, just bless somebody beside you, one person.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.
Now, bless another person. This is your season of multiplication. All right, cheer up, brethren.